This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, boys and girls. It's jamming around here on WNRN. Five folks in the studio. Not to diminish anyone's career or means, but kind of like having five kindergartners in here as we lounge around the studio to get everybody set in their seats and headphones working, at least the ones that are. And, you know, I got my heart beating quick and fast. I hope yours is too, because it's a nice Sunday out there. Hang out, though, and listen to us for an hour. You can listen while you're driving because we'll take your phone call from the road if you'd like later on. Let's take a moment to thank. I don't know who we're going to thank because somebody took all my stuff. I don't want to thank the same people Rusty did. Everybody's important, but everybody gets their share. We're going to start with Copacabana Restaurant, Brazilian international cuisine, serving lunch and dinner every day. Available for special party needs as well. Along with Brazilian entrees, Copacabana serves banana flan and passion fruit mousse. Gift certificates are available at Copacabana Brazilian International Cuisine in the Shopper's World on 29 North in Charlottesville. All right, just a moment after 11 o'clock. Today's show, I'm calling it sort of the social safety net here in the Charlottesville, Central Virginia area. Graham, you want to come in here and make sure we got all the microphones set up properly? We're going to start here in the middle because I know that that microphone will set and work properly. Who's going to share that mic? Looks like Dave. Dave, lean forward and take a bite out of that.
How's that, Rick?
That's great. Dave Norris from... Now, see, I had to ask this question. It's P-A-C-E-M.
P-A-C-E-M.
People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry.
That's right. We call it PACEM for short.
PACEM for short. Now, are you the famous Dave Norris, who's recently become our
semi-famous, mayor? Semi-famous.
The mayor of Charlottesville?
That's correct.
So this is the first time that the mayor of Charlottesville has been in the studio. So if I'm polite to you, you'll come back for a later show.
Absolutely. I'll give you a big tax break or something.
I live in the county, which is more likely to give me a big tax break in the city, no doubt. And next to Dave, sharing the same microphone.
I am Will Gallick.
All right, lean over just a little bit, Will. There you go.
Is that better?
Yep. Will Gallick from On Our Own.
Yes.
And On Our Own on 4th Street.
4th Street Northwest, yes.
Now, I lived next to 4th Street, or I lived next to On Our Own on 4th Street for about a decade.
In the White House? In that White House?
I lived in the, but not in the one that faced 4th Street, in the one that was attached to it, facing Commerce Street. My door was at the back of On Our Own.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I think for a lot of people, and we'll get into this as the program goes on, was people would always be, wow, how can you live next to that? That's sort of the folks, who, you know, not the, you know, it's not like living in Glenmore.
That it is not, yes.
But I think that one of the things we'll talk about during the hour is the fact that there I had no problems. And people need to not be so fearful of those who need our help and those that we are helping. All right, well, I'm going to go back all the way to my left. Now, Susan, you're going to have to lean forward. I have a bit. Oh, sorry, I can't get everybody straight. Who do I have over here on my left?
Patty Wilson.
All right, Patty, we're going to turn that up, Graham. Patty Wilson, transportation at Emergency Food Bank here in Charlottesville. Is that correct?
This is actually, I'm the driver chair, which means that I have a team of 48 drivers who deliver the food that has been ordered in the morning to the distribution sites.
All right. And how long have you been with Emergency Food Bank?
About 8 years.
Okay. Let's see. Next. See, this is a group of five today. This is what I was talking about, the rush to get everything going in here with you know, equipment set up, and we're all in our nice little cubbyhole, small space. Rich, is it Kiefert?
Keffert.
Keffert. And how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
I appreciate you coming in and sharing your Sunday hour with us. And I have you down as the chair of the Emergency Food Bank. Is that correct?
I'm actually the food drive chair. We have about 20 people on our board, and my role is to work with groups, churches, organizations, businesses, raising food for the Emergency Food Bank with food drive activities.
I'm curious as to what isn't, wouldn't the Emergency Food Drive be 100% about, well, 50% about food drive and gathering and 50% about food distribution and transportation?
Can I answer that?
Sure. Susan Banks?
Susan Banks, yeah. Only about 10% of the food that the food bank actually receives is from food drives. The other 90% comes from monetary donations from the community.
Really? And Susan Banks, by the way, needs a big support for helping put this show together. Susan contacted me two months ago about doing a show, and I pushed her and pushed her and pushed her. Well, I originally blew her off a little bit because it was a holiday time. And I said, I got everything lined up. Let me get back to you. And then I said, no, let's do a show on more than just the food bank. And Susan, one of the reasons, and we're going to get started on this. This is where we are, by the way. Susan Banks, Rich Keffert.
Keffert, that's right.
I'm going to mess that up. Please forgive me. Single-digit errors is one of the goals on this program at all times. Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson from the Emergency Food Bank here in Charlottesville, Central Virginia. Will Gallick from On Our Own. Dave Norris from Patchum here as we talk about the social safety net for those who need it here in Charlottesville. Susan, why does this area need, and I can name three, right? Three food gathering organizations and distribution groups.
Well, that's part of the problem that the Emergency Food Bank has, is people understanding the difference between a food bank and a food pantry. The food bank itself isn't actually a bank. It provides food directly to those in need. Other food banks, such as the Thomas Jefferson Area Food Bank, they actually don't provide food directly to individuals. They receive food subsidies from the government, and then they sell that food to people like us. So when you see food donation boxes at Harris Teeter, places like that, those are agencies that are picking up food that they will then sell lower prices to us at the pantry.
Do they make a profit on it?
No.
No. So they're a nonprofit.
Nonprofit, but we work directly with the community.
And what is the need in any of the Emergency Food Bank folks, Susan, Rich, Patty, what is the need to have the two different types of organizations? I mean, what's to prevent? Is it just too much trouble for the Emergency Food Bank and another task to take on for you to get it from Harris Teeter yourself?
Well, we also do get it from Harris Teeter ourselves, but the Emergency Food Bank is a very small organization. It's 20 people on the board, 100 volunteers. We're all volunteer, no paid staff. Whereas the Thomas Jefferson Area Food Bank serves 8 counties, and it's a much larger organization.
All right. Feel free to dial us up, by the way, if you have questions today, or write it down. Write down the numbers and stretch out your fingers when you want to get ready for later. 979-0919, 979-0919. Graham is out front today, passing along your name, your call. 1-877 WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number from a little further out in the woods. All right. I'm curious. Now, we talked about what Emergency Food Bank does. Will, jump over to you next. On Our Own.
Yeah.
Now, some people asked me, oh, I've heard of that. What is it? And I'm trying to tell them, you know, my first reply is, gosh, I lived next door to them for so long. But my memory of On Our Own is probably very inconclusive of exactly what you do.
Well, Rick, it took me 4 or 5 years to figure out exactly how to describe us as well. In a nutshell, On Our Own is a grassroots mental health organization run by mental health consumers. And a consumer is somebody who's been diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder.
And what do you do to, I mean, On Our Own? You're obviously, to me, just those three words say you're helping someone who fits that description live or be on their own.
Well, the name On Our Own actually came from the title of a book. The book was written by Judy Chamberlain, and the subtitle of the book is Patient-Controlled Alternatives to the Mental Health System. So it's all about people who have received some kind of mental health services helping others in the same situation.
How old is the On Our Own organization?
On Our Own is coming up on 18 years.
And, Patty, how old is the Emergency Food Bank?
We'll be celebrating our 35th anniversary
wow.
in March. So we've 35. Been around a long time, yes.
They got you smoked, Will.
They do.
I'm curious as to Emergency Food Bank does not get any funding, correct? No funding. It's all what you raise and what you gather.
That's correct. We do have a lot of foundations that support us, but there
a lot of philanthropic foundations. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Yes, we have foundations. We don't really want to mention the names in case they don't want to be mentioned.
That's fine.
That give us sort of yearly grants that help us fund special projects such as PACHM and On Our Own.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that the three of you are in here today is because it seems to be such a need for the network. Is that right, Dave? Don't get that comfortable leaning back now.
Well, I think you're right, Rick. There's certainly a lot of need to be addressed in our community, and it's always advantageous when the groups work together and collaborate to meet the needs. In our case, the Emergency Food Bank has been absolutely a vital and essential piece of our service delivery model, if you will. I mean, they provide bag lunches to all the people we serve. We provide shelters to the homeless during the winter months, and the Emergency Food Bank provides bag lunches for every single person that comes through our doors so they have something to eat during the day. If we were to try to do that on our own, it would just be a huge undertaking. We never anticipated going into this that we would have that, be able to offer that kind of a support, and so the partnership with the food bank has been tremendous.
How long has PACHM been around?
We're the baby in the room. We've only been open 4 years now, 3.5 years.
Wow, and you've already gotten mayor on the board. Anybody else claim that? No? No?
No?
No? All right, keep at it. Don't ever, ever give up. I'm curious. Dave, you talked a little bit about the need for interaction, but I'm curious as to how you do interact. You said that Emergency Food Bank will provide bag lunches. But can one person in one day run across the benefits of all three of you?
Sure, they do all the time. Especially in the winter months, with PACHM, you have the emergency shelter. On Our Own, through our peer support center, which was recently transformed from a drop-in center, you know, there's a lot of activities that people can engage in when recovering from their mental health. We receive food bags from the Emergency Food Bank every Friday, and that helps. 14 folks a week that we work with, supplements their food for the week. The food bank also works with us on a monthly basis and provides ingredients for one of our recovery dinners is what we call it. And they've also been very helpful for our Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. On our own is open every day. And it's very beneficial during the winter holidays. I mean, you have Thanksgiving and Christmas. We average 35. We had about 35 for Thanksgiving and over 40 for Christmas this year. And, you know, it's a place and it's resources that people don't have when everything else is closed. So, you know, they've been very helpful to us in helping us provide these activities.
I'm curious, as we talk about, we sit here with Susan Bank, Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson, Dave Norris, Will Gallick, all from a variety of organizations helping others in our area, on our own, Pochum, the people and congregations engaged in ministry, and the Emergency Food Bank. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Susan, you mentioned how Thomas Jefferson, what's the proper name for
Thomas
it?
Jefferson Area Food Bank.
Food Bank. They cover multiple counties.
Right.
Do any of the three of you cover multiple counties, or have you had other counties, and if not, have you had other counties come to you? You know, do you ever get in touch with other counties to share the pros and cons and rights and wrongs of what you're doing?
The Emergency Food Bank only serves the local Charlottesville, Albemarle County area. And that's it.
Well, Rick, On Our Own serves primarily Charlottesville and Albemarle County. Our services are pretty much available to anybody that comes in and meets, you know, our criteria for membership. We're often looked at as a model. There are not many programs like this at all in Virginia, and there's not many, you know, around the country. So a lot of people come to us to see how we do things.
Dave?
Yeah, with Pochum, we too primarily serve this community, Charlottesville, Albemarle, but you know, anybody that walks in our door, as long as they meet our criteria, we'll give them a warm place to sleep at night. We do work with other communities that are trying to start similar programs. In fact, we just helped get a new program started in Harrisonburg called HART, H-A-R-T, which, again, uses the same congregation-based winter shelter model. There's programs starting in Fredericksburg. We were based on a program that started 20 years ago in Richmond. So it's sort of the ripple effect, and it's all coming together. So.
That fast-forward thing.
Right, right.
All right, 11:20 here on the wake-up call. As we talk about the social safety net here in the area, and as you heard, about how that can help build a social safety net in maybe the area you're listening in, Harrisonburg's 95.1. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. A nice sunny morning, then cloudy with a chance of rain in the afternoon today. Highs 40 to 45. Mostly cloudy with rain and possibly a little snow after midnight tonight. Lows 30 to 35. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs 43 to 48. Right now in the valley, clear and 39, but some clouds elsewhere. 41 in Lynchburg, 47 in Richmond, 41 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, thanks to Blue Ridge Graphics for being there for us. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And we need to thank a little bit of everybody out there, because it's not just the underwriters who support us. Roy Huta, Robin Romer, Brenda Clement Jones, they contributed to the fund drive in the fall. And that's why the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call is here. We do want to thank other program underwriters, though, like Revolutionary Soup and Mill Street Grill. Stay tuned. Tell a friend about this show and others that you like. Be sure to support us in the upcoming fund drive and the spring. Although, I think we've already been through all four seasons just this week, and maybe spring is coming around again. All right, back in action. Will Gallick, Dave Norris, Patty Wilson, Rich Keffert, Susan Bank, all from various organizations here in our area. Will, I want to jump on you first, and then Dave, I think this applies to you as well. I'm not sure it applies to the food bank. I'm curious about sort of that not in my backyard issue. You said that you're not a drop-in center anymore. And I mentioned that I live next door to On Our Own without, really without any problem. I mean, I lived there for a decade, and I think, you know, one time somebody tried to break in my car, and the neighborhood that we're in had, there's no way to prove that it had anything to do with On Our Own.
Exactly.
It was Will Gallick.
You know, I don't, I think I had left before Will took over, maybe not. We won't blame him either. Although, if you want to get Chief Longo looking into it, Dave, let me know.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm curious as to how you fight that and assure people, because there aren't a lot of residential spots around there, but there are some. And if you wanted to find maybe a bigger place in a more residential area of town, then I'm sure that that would be a big battle.
It would probably pose quite a few issues, yeah. We are fortunate to be in an area that's centrally located, that's on the bus line, and really doesn't have too much around it. I mean, the building right next to us that fronts Main Street is the Big and Bark building, so there's really not an issue there. The house next door has six apartments and a barbershop. And there really hasn't been much in the way of issues with them. And then a couple streets behind us, there's a few houses. But then, but you know, that's really not much that big of an issue either. So there's not a lot of residential. You have the Jefferson School that's nearby. And it just seems to, it was a really well thought out location to put On Our Own. Now, if we ever decided to move, that of course would pose, I think, some issues. You know, what we talk a great deal about is stigma with mental health issues. We all have mental health. It's just unfortunate that some people fall in the different continuum of life, really. You know, and it's basically the odds of what you're dealt with. If we, you know, a big part of what we do is try to fight that stigma. You know, when somebody walks in our door, their mental health issues kind of stay outside. Or the stigma stays outside. Shouldn't say the mental health stuff. And so with the stigma not there, you can come in and be yourself and who you are.
Do me a favor. Lean back just a little bit so we get more of your directorial voice into the microphone.
Thank you.
But when you and you mentioned all the positive aspects of where the location is now,
right?
Has the conversation come up about being able to help more people by moving to a larger space? Because things have changed. One of my memories is that the building allows people to have an address for mail.
Right.
So that federal checks or state checks can come to them.
Right.
You have computers for people to come in and use for whatever reason, whether it's something simple as email and contact with families or to help business applications, job applications, resumes, et cetera. You get, I can say this now, when I moved, Mm-hmm. And I found one of the reasons I moved is because I had so much stuff. I would like, condemned myself to the middle 5 feet of this great apartment with all the boxes along the walls. I just set it on your porch because so many clothes and plates and, I wasn't giving you my trash, but all the stuff that was like, my God, I had 20 boxes worth of clothes I never wore. I had enough stuff to fill a dozen kitchens. And I just set it out there because that's one of the things that you do, correct? Is you help people who need those items to be on their own.
Well, yeah. And in large part, we do some of that kind of those things. What we've been transforming into to be more focused, our drop-in center transformed into a peer support center. The original intent of On Her Own is for people that have mental health issues can help out other people with mental health issues. We all know that people, quite a number of people that have, who are homeless have mental health issues. And so what we do at the center is offer, a wide variety of activities and the atmosphere conducive to helping people move forward in their lives. Whether it be through peer support groups, through donations, like food donations from the Emergency Food Bank. We also have a few other programs that are more geared to helping folks get into supportive services with mental health. We have a collaboration that's with Region 10. We also have a program that helps people who are homeless and have some kind of mental health issue. We do some outreach to help them get involved with mental health services. We also have two rooms upstairs that we use for transitional housing.
Two rooms upstairs.
And that's always in high demand. We don't keep a waiting list because, it would be too long. But it's always in demand. And oftentimes, people know when it's going to be available before we do as staff because, the word gets out.
Dave, let me ask you, Dave Norris from Pachem, People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry, this question about sort of the Not in My Backyard group. By the way, 1129 on the wake-up calls, we talk about some of the social safety net organizations here in our area, folks from Emergency Food Bank On Our Own, and Pachem, the People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry. Now, what your group does is a variety of churches providing shelter during the winter months. Now, do you have that issue? I mean, I would think that, at least in, wonderful thought from the heart, is that folks going to your church are not upset by this, not even the, that 1 or 2%, but just because you live next to the church doesn't mean you go to that church and doesn't mean that's what you want going on in that church. Do you have that problem?
Well, the churches rotate throughout the winter, so each church that hosts our shelter program typically only does it for 1 or 2 weeks at a time. So it's not a permanent presence.
Still, that doesn't mean I want you there for those 1 or 2 weeks.
But we've never had problems, and it goes back to something that we learned, frankly, from people like Will Gallick and On Our Own. Will is very modest because the other way that you address that issue is you run a quality program and you provide support to people and you create an atmosphere in which people, frankly, don't want to misbehave. I mean, you create an atmosphere in which people are coming there to get help and to do something positive with their time, and Will and his group does that very well, and so you don't see a lot of sort of illicit or dangerous or threatening or frightening activity going on at On Our Own. And we do have people who stay at Pachem that have mental health issues. We have people that stay at Pachem that have substance abuse issues, but we try to create an environment that's a positive environment that's safe, and we have great working relationships with the police, with the different churches, with other community partners like the food bank, and somehow it all comes together. So,
okay, so Rich, we identified the fact that Emergency Food Bank does not get money from any of our governments, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We're really reliant on donors and contributions from the local community.
Pochum, does Pochum get money from any of the government areas?
We do get a state grant and a federal grant, no local money.
On our own, I would think, would be quite significantly supported by the government. Is that correct?
Yes. We receive some federal grants and some state grants.
I'm curious, and let's go back to Emergency Food Bank. It doesn't matter whether it's Patty, Rich, Susan, whoever feels best qualified to answer this. What are the qualifications for someone to get help from your organization? Do I just walk in, call you up and say, look, rough time, I need some food. Do you send somebody over? How does that work?
There's absolutely no qualifications. An individual gets in touch with the Emergency Food Bank in one of two ways. They either call up and say they have a need. An individual can call once a month for a three-day supply of food, or they're referred by a social service agency. But, you don't have to fill out any forms. You don't have to qualify in any way.
So once a month, I can get 3 days' worth of food.
Actually, this is a good point to sort of highlight one of the unique qualities of the Emergency Food Bank and how it compares to the other food banks, which was one of your earlier questions. We will provide valuable services, but we do it in different ways and for sometimes different people. The Emergency Food Bank is unique in that we provide services every day, Monday through Friday, the whole year long, whereas the food banks, as opposed to the Emergency Food Bank and pantry, tend to be more intermittent services where a church might do something once a month. And so our clients tend to be people that call in a moment of crisis, hence the term emergency in Emergency Food Bank. So they may call at the end of the month when the money has run out and there's no food in the pantry.
Rich, I'm going to start with you since you were just speaking. Rich Keffert, Emergency Food Bank. What prompted you to become involved in this? In such a charitable organization, and this organization in particular. And I'm going to hit all of you up on this, so the rest of you get a chance to be prepared. But Rich, we're going to jam this on you right away.
Well, I joined the Emergency Food Bank about 2 years ago, and I started out as a driver transporting the food from the pantry to our distribution center. I knew I wanted to be involved in volunteer work, and when I expressed an interest in the Emergency Food Bank, I think it was Patty, actually, that interviewed me in a very informal and friendly sense and asked me about what kind of things I wanted to be involved with and how much time I could commit. And really effectively matched me up with one of the roles that's available within the Emergency Food Bank. In the process of that interview, I sort of likened the Emergency Food Bank to a wooden clock. And this might seem a bit strange and convoluted and an odd way of coming to a point. But
proper show for that.
I will come to a point, I promise. But I don't know if you've ever seen any of these wooden clocks out there. Sometimes they're as kits and sometimes they're built. But I find them awesome in that they are very complicated things that work with many parts, and the parts sometimes are fragile, but they do work. And as I understood how the Emergency Food Bank works, there's over 100 volunteers that come together like the cogs of a complicated machine. And every day, they reliably provide services to people. And it was that sort of well-oiled machine, and the idea it was entirely volunteer-run, that made me feel, I've just got to be a part of this. And that was what really drew me in.
Patty, your name was tossed out there as someone who interviewed Rich. How did you get started, or what prompted you to come to such a giving part of your life and to the food bank?
When I started, my children were, I have two daughters, they were at home. I was not working, and I wanted to do something to give back. I had done volunteer work before I had moved to Charlottesville, and I felt that it was a time that I could start doing something. I got on board as a driver, and I was able to take the girl, my girls that were both preschoolers at that time, along with me. They could ride in the car as I went and packed up the food. It also gave them a better understanding of what all is out there in the community, and that some people do have more needs than others. I started as a regular once-a-month driver, and Marcia, who is our chair, had other programs that came out, and we did a little more driving. Then I was asked to be on the board. Then I got to be the job of being in charge of all the drivers. As I said, I have 48 volunteers. The majority of them drive once a month. We have teams of two drivers each weekday that transport the food that the orders arrive at the pantry, and they deliver it. And as Rich said, it's just amazing how it all works together.
All right. We got a call, I think, if I didn't mess this up. No, see, they didn't, wouldn't wait long enough. Dial back, caller. Dial back. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. And hear that call's coming in again now. I'll grab that here on my end. Caller, are you with me? No, I guess you don't want to talk to me. All right. We are here on the wake-up call on Sunday, the 13th of January. Social Safety Net is our topic of conversation. Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson, Dave Norris, Susan Bank, Will Gallick of various groups on our own, Pacham, and the Emergency Food Bank. If you want to call up, 979-0919, but please hang on the line. Maybe Graham will answer the phone. If you don't want to come on and speak to me directly, you're welcome to give him your question, and I'll just read it out over the air to our group. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week in The Hook, they look into which way locals are leaning in the presidential race with their support and their checkbooks. Local lovers of architectural history should be excited. There's a proposal for new design controls on historic properties. And the annual fiction contest is back. Get set. Get typing. The Hook. Check out those red boxes all around town. Good things can be found inside. All right. Drew just showed up. So you won't want to go anywhere. Les Temps Purdue coming up soon. Drew Thompson. If French isn't your thing, here at the station, that means the time's gone by. And on WNRN, that means late 80s through mid-90s alternative. Tune in for it at noon. Les Temps Purdue brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. Only here on WNRN. And let's thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for allowing us to be here today. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. All right, back in action, Susan Banks, Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson, Dave Norris, Will Gallick. Let me turn everybody's button back on. Dave, I'll go to you next as to what prompted you to become involved with Pacham.
Well, Rick, I actually replied to a Help Wanted ad.
In a Help Wanted ad?
So I was looking for a job, and this is about 4 years ago, and I really liked what I heard about this new organization that was trying to get off the ground, where they brought all these congregations together from all backgrounds, denominations, creeds, etc., working with the local homeless consortium to start a winter shelter program, and they for some reason decided to take a risk on me and hired me, and it's been a great ride. So I've been doing it for like I said, 3.5 years now. We have over 50 congregations now involved on some level or another with the work of PACHM and thousands of volunteers. It's it's one of those wooden clocks that Rich was talking about where somehow all the pieces come together. We do have paid staff, unlike the food bank. It's amazing to me how much work the food bank gets done and how well it's all coordinated, given the fact that it's entirely volunteer run. I really give them a lot of credit. So.
Will, how about you? I mean, because it seems like that I'm assuming, and maybe I shouldn't, the emergency food bank positions that we've discussed today, volunteer work completely?
Yes, completely.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Dave, PACHM, volunteer work?
I mean, we do have paid staff, but most
But you're not one of them?
I'm not one of them. I mean, I am paid, yes. I'm not paid a lot, but I am paid.
Will Gallick, this is your job.
This is my job.
This is your job career. Now, lean back a little bit. Lean back a little bit so people can hear you. There you go. Chat away. Because I want to hear why someone takes this on as a career position and how you ended up at On Our Own in Charlottesville.
Well, if I would have known what was in store for me before they interviewed me, I might have thought twice.
Now, why is that?
there was a 6-month period between my predecessor and myself at On Our Own. And let's just say things were kind of a little chaotic when I came on board.
Well, when you have no leader and no director, I can see where that would happen.
Right. And since it's a peer-run program, it was thought that the people coming in, the peers, would be able to take up the leadership positions. As it turned out, that's a very difficult thing to do. And I think it's difficult to do in any organization, let alone an organization that prides itself on being peer-run. Peer-run, of course, being run by the persons who have the issues that they're addressing. So, to make a long story short, I was looking for a job. All of our staff are 100% acknowledged consumers, myself included. I had worked long and hard on myself to get to a point that I wasn't dependent on anyone. And I never have been dependent on anyone other than my parents as an upbringing. So I got in the system, and I realized, I had my own mental health issues, and it was time to do something about them. So I did. And I was working in computers back in my early 20s. That wasn't it. With a little bit of support from my coworkers who offered that support, I ended up going back to school, and I went to James Madison University. I got my undergraduate in psychology. And, from the first psych class I took, it just made total sense. And so I started working my way up. I worked for, other grassroots organizations, a wilderness camp, a camp up in New York for kids, and then I moved back to Virginia, and I worked at the Community Services Board in Stanton, and it started building up from there. So I was living in Harrisonburg, and I wanted to move to a bigger city, so I went to Richmond, but I was still working in Stanton. And, somebody told me about this job here in Charlottesville. And, I couldn't have imagined a cooler job, to think about it. It was running a place. It would be running a place geared toward working with people that had mental health issues. But it wasn't, the traditional system. It's not licensed. It's not credentialed. And it's based on peers having input on how to, how to program and how to work with people. So I went in, You know, they took a long time to do the application process, and unfortunately, a lot of people dropped out. I came along, and I fit what they wanted. So I came on board, and it's
timing
been,
can be everything.
Yeah, and it's been almost 7 years, and I can't think of a better job that suited for me. There's been a lot of learning, but you know it's been positive. You know, the positives way outweigh all the other stuff, and there's plenty of other stuff. But it's been a really good experience.
Well, I can imagine how all of these are challenging, and I would think that that would be at the top of the list. We do have a phone call from Sharon. Sharon passed this on through Graham. I'm going to address this. It is for Emergency Food Bank. Susan Banks, what can an individual do besides or beyond collecting food?
They can volunteer directly with the Emergency Food Bank if they want. They could be a driver. I mean, that's what appears to be where most of us started, being a driver. And literally, you can do it once a month for an hour. That's the beauty of it. For someone that doesn't have a lot of time but would like to donate, you can drive.
But this person says besides beyond collecting food. So let's say that I don't have a license. I don't have a driver's license. But I can get to you. I can get your to play. I can get to your place.
This is Rich. I just wanted to chime in on that question. The nature of the volunteer opportunities at the Emergency Food Bank are generally sort of long-term commitments where folks show up for one or two or more hours a month. So it's a very regular type of commitment. And the variety of roles are very wide. They're not all involved in food collection. We mentioned driving. We have baggers who fill the bags with a nutritionally balanced 2 to 3 day supply of food. We have people who take orders on a daily basis for the food that's outgoing. People that shelve the incoming donations. So there are a lot of things besides just the food drives themselves.
I want to ask a question. There's another call coming in. But in the meantime, by the way, this is the Social Safety Net show on the Wake Up Call. Susan Banks, Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson from the Emergency Food Bank, Will Gallick from On Our Own, Dave Norris from PACHM, People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry. In terms of financial support, now, Will, you said On Our Own gets a fair amount. Dave, and the Emergency Food Bank folks. I'm curious, it seems like everyone can, you know, that during the holiday time, and this is why when Susan originally emailed me about the show, I already had a couple other, you know, community service shows on there. Much of the rest of those 2 months were taken. Is it just a roller coaster of giving? Because it seems to me that that would be one of the most difficult things to do, is to take these 2 months of gifts, which, you know, just to toss out a percentage, 80% of your, you know, of your gift giving comes in November and December, and make it spread out. How do you make that work? And how do you make other people realize that gifts are needed year round?
This is Susan. Yes, it is a roller coaster ride, and we do get a lot of food donations and money during the holiday season. That's why we try to do things like talk to you. Obviously, it's January still, and it's early, but we try very hard to get stories in the Daily Progress or other types of PR to let people know that the need is year-round. People have this perception, too, for some reason, that summertime the need is down. Particularly for the Emergency Food Bank, summertime is when children are home from school and they're not getting their assisted lunches. So food is very much needed during the summertime.
Well, PACHM only offers the shelters in the winter. I mean, but I would think that for safety purposes, wouldn't the homeless folks who would use your shelters in the winter, wouldn't they also like to at least have the option of staying in the church?
Well, ultimately, I mean, PACHM is a winter shelter program. Ultimately, the answer is not to provide year-round shelter. It's to get people into housing. And so I know it's something that a lot of us are concerned about, is how do we provide permanent supportive housing for the homeless rather than building more shelters or expanding more shelters. But you know, it the same applies, as Susan said, with the money race, if you will. I mean, there's about, what, 20,000 nonprofits in the city of Charlottesville, it seems like, some days, and we're all vying for a limited supply of funds. It's by far the least favorite part of my job is the fundraising. We just kicked off a $75,000 fundraising drive to make sure we have enough funds to stay open through the winter. But, I mean, it's just constantly looking for the next dime to make sure we can provide the services that we provide. We're all in that same boat. So.
All right, 11:51 here on the wake-up call. Dial us up. There's time for a few questions. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line. Will Gallick on our own. I have a caller who wants to know about groups and classes at On Our Own.
Okay. Well, we don't usually call them classes. We have one structured program called WRAP, which is the Wellness Recovery Action Plan. That is an 8-week course, and it's 2 hours a week, and it helps people work on those three things that is, you know, that's mentioned in that title: wellness, recovery, and development of an action plan. If you're interested, call Debbie at the center. Our main number is 979-2440. We have a variety of peer support groups, and our peer support groups go on Monday through Friday at 2 o'clock and 5:30. You know, and they range from just doing some structured peer support, talking about what recovery is and the principles behind it. We do such things as a mental wellness support group. We have a recovery dinner. We have community presentations. We do AccuDetox, which is a acupuncture in the ear, and that's for addictions. And we also have a woman who volunteers her time to do Reiki. Reiki.
I don't know what that is.
Energy work for the body.
Got it.
And then we have somebody who volunteers, who's a clinical psychologist, who comes in and volunteers to do a stress management group. You know, we're always looking to start more things, and there's always good ideas flying around. There's many different areas of wellness that people want, so it's based on what we can get at any particular time.
And all these organizations have websites, correct, and email, and we will post on the podcast, www.sevillepodcast.com. We should get that up later today or certainly tomorrow, and we will have links to each of these groups, because you're always looking for donations. You're always looking for funds. Questions such as, what can each organization do for you or someone that you know? You can connect to these folks directly for such things. Susan Banks, Rich Keffert, Patty Wilson, Dave Norris, Will Gallick. Question came in. How can an individual representing a church or organization help coordinate a food collection on a larger scale? All right, Rich?
Well, that's really my realm as the food drive chair for the Emergency Food Bank. I work with these groups and help them figure out what sort of a food drive would work best for them and their volunteers. We follow three primary models. One that works very well is to pass out a paper grocery sack with a list of needed grocery items to the congregation members or people at a business or other organization, and perhaps a week later they bring the bags back full or partially full of food. Another model that works well in that sort of a setting is to leave a bin out, and I can help with the bins and the signage. And a third model that has been incredibly successful, we call the Eagle Scout model, after a local young gentleman, Andrew, did a fabulous drive with the help of the Church of the Incarnation, and they mobilized the volunteers to stand outside grocery stores, I think almost 10 grocery stores locally, pass out flyers to people going in, asking them to buy a little extra. And then as the folks come out, they drop that extra food into a bin.
All right, 11:54 here on the wake-up call. Just a minute or two left. If you have your question, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be here today. Blue Ridge has gear for keeping you warm outside or on the way to work or class, even on the trail. Blue Ridge staff can recommend the hair. What kind of hair do you need, Will?
I'm not really dealing with that issue anymore.
Hat, pair of gloves. That was low. I'm sorry. Jacket, including the windstopper fleece from the North Face that allow you to enjoy the outdoors anytime. You can find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or the BRMS.com. That's what happens when I get all tangled up in my tongue. I can be somewhat non-editing with my commentary. A minute or two left. Dave, we talked about funding, and something I found on your site, and I don't know if it applies to everybody else, is what is the Commonwealth of Virginia campaign?
Commonwealth Virginia campaign, I don't know if...
Emergency Food Bank does participate in that.
So it's an annual fundraising drive where state employees, in which in our area includes a lot of UVA employees, obviously, can contribute towards a charity of their choice or towards the general fund. And those funds really are valuable in helping each of us to do the work that we do. So if any of your listeners do work for the Commonwealth of Virginia, work at UVA, the next drive will be coming up, I believe, in October. Is that right?
September, yes.
So this year was October, November, I believe. But anyhow, it's an annual drive, and it's a great way for people to help out the groups like us that are trying to do good things in this community. So.
Goals for, because we just got 2 minutes left. Curious as to goals for each organization for 2008. And I'm looking beyond the help more people than we helped last year sort of thing.
To diversify and get the word out to different folks.
And I'd like to say, by the way, one last time, that On Our Own is a great neighbor to have. They're doing good things. They're helping people who need help, and they do it in a way that lifts the quality of the neighborhood.
Thank you, Rick.
Susan Banks.
I think the goal for the Emergency Food Bank for the coming year would be better name recognition. All of the food banks do a great job, but we often get confused with the other food banks. So an individual say, "Oh, I already gave to the food bank." Well, they didn't give to our food bank. So we'd like for the future, and this program is helpful in that, to clarify that the Emergency Food Bank is there helping individuals on a daily basis.
And I think we showed that by my questions earlier in the hour about why do we need all these food banks, and then with the caller calling in and asking questions about how do you help that with on a larger scale than just showing up and giving you my grocery bag full. So hopefully that helps you as well. Dave Norris?
Well, our ultimate goal each year is to figure out a way to put ourselves out of business. And so we'd love to get to a point where we don't have so many people sleeping out on the streets of Charlottesville. And so, we're continuing to work on the issue of developing supportive housing for the homeless, transitional housing for the homeless, and centralizing services for the homeless so people can climb the ladder and get back on their feet. We're working with a project downtown, First Street Church Project, which is going to be a wonderful community resource where a whole range of valuable services will be located under one roof where people can walk in the door and get the help they need to get their life moving in a good direction again, and we're very excited to be part of that project.
You really should go to a city council meeting and see what you can do about that.
I'll think about it. Good idea.
All right. Thanks to everyone who participated today. I really appreciate Patty and Dave and Will and Rich and Susan. A special thanks out to Susan Banks for helping me put this show together. Actually, she put the show together herself. She emailed me and I said, "Here's what I need you to do," and she did it all, and here we are. Thank you so much. Hopefully everyone will return again next week on air. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.